D1, number 23A.
Post Signal Young came quite a different attitude towards the principle and practice of Christian Science. It was around about 1914-15 that he began to see, more or less at the same time as John Dorley, that statement in Mrs. Eddy's textbook, which he put in rather late, that principle and idea is one, and this one, God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being. The oneness of being broke upon thought at that time, and Bicknell Young was the exponent of this teaching of the oneness of being as oneness, not as science, but as oneness. This brought a new vision compared with the Kimball period, where thought was constantly asking what is the spiritual reality against the counterfeit material universe, what is the relationship between ideas and the human belief. Now thought was breaking in that there is only one being, only one reality, not two realities, matter and spirit, one reality, one being, and that therefore everything must be explained from within that one being. Now, it was noticed that Mrs. Eddy wrote that evil is neither person, place, nor thing, but merely an illusion of material sense, a belief. That evil, matter, sickness, disease, death, lack, etc., were not counterfacts of realities, but that they are illusions and must be treated as such. Therefore, one began to realize that there is only one creation. If there is only one being, there is only one creation. And the explanation of what then is the material universe is explained that it is the spiritual universe incorrectly interpreted. So that was a step forward, that one began to see that the material universe is not just a false universe, a material universe, but that it is really the spiritual universe incorrectly perceived and interpreted. So that there is only one creation which can either be understood or misunderstood. If the true creation is properly understood, we have the spiritual creation. If that spiritual creation is incorrectly viewed and misinterpreted, we call it material universe. But there is only one universe. And so, as there is only one being, principle and its idea, and this one God, they began to realize that man is not separate from God, and so they began to speak about man as God being or God consciousness. They began to realize what is so important, that God really is man's only mind, so that man is really God being, as they used to call it. Consequently, everything has to be interpreted right. That statement of Mrs. Eddy was put into focus, namely, the divine principle of the universe must interpret the universe. And so one can see that they have made that great step forward, that instead of going out from the material universe and trying to find the idea to which that material universe hints at. Sometimes I marvel how you can understand me. Well, so instead as trying, you see, to go out from the material universe and to see to what this material universe hints at as idea, now the standpoint has been changed to principle, looking out from principle and interpreting the universe from the point of view of principle. The divine principle of the universe must interpret the universe. Then they could see that this true interpretation would translate the material concept of the universe back into the true spiritual concept. Science, understood, translates matter back into mind. So they have started right now. Instead of starting from matter and through induction try to arrive at the right idea, they began to see we have to start from principle, and through right interpretation from principle, this would translate any misinterpretation back into the true interpretation, and that is the solution of the universe. Therefore, matter as a concept only exists in belief. The material universe only exists now in belief. Kimball, at his time, wrote in one of those manuscripts that error exists outside the infinite realm of good. And Mrs. Eddy corrected it and said it does not exist at all. So we can see that now the false concept is not something which exists outside the infinite, but that it is a concept which must be explained from within the infinite. And from within the infinite, it can be explained as a belief, as a misinterpretation, as a misunderstanding. A misunderstanding that just darkens the true creation, the true sense of creation. Or, as Bicknell Young said to Mr. Sinton at his time, he said, matter is just the perishable concept of the imperishable. See, it was explained from within the imperishable and said matter is really the imperishable but wrongly seen. It's the perishable concept of the imperishable. So, through that true interpretation, we can see that consciousness does, by it, through the very fact of interpreting right, translate a belief concept back into the facts of being. So everything becomes a new interpretation in Bicknell Young's concept of science. A great step forward. Now, all is interpreted from God, from mind. Mind now is revealing itself as mind. Mind now knows itself as its own divinity. And they like to take these statements from Mrs. Eddy, where she points out that infinite mind knows nothing beyond himself or herself. That's from miscellaneous writings, you see. Now, the standpoint is from God, mind knowing nothing outside of himself or herself, or beyond himself or herself. Mind alone really knows what mind is. Wonderful step forward, that only mind, capital M, knows what mind is. They quote that statement from Mrs. Eddy that the distinction between that which is and that which is not law must be made by mind, capital M, by mind, and as mind, capital M. A terrific statement, which gives a clue to the level of divine science, really, where one begins to see that only mind knows itself as mind, and only through mind, and only for mind, and as mind. Mind knows nothing beyond mind, and so remains within the one infinite circle of that one mind. It never goes outside, so belief is nothing outside or beyond mind. It can be explained from within the infinite mind. And I naturally so began to see, because mind knows only itself and through itself and as itself, that mind is really self-realizing itself. That the divine mind is doing the job, is doing the healing. How different from those time of the argumentation where the practitioner thought that his thinking can be transferred to the patient's thinking and can correct the patient's thinking. Now there is no more the practitioner's thought and the patient's thought, and the thought transference from the practitioner to the patient. Now we have Bicknell Young's method of healing. There is only one mind. So from now on, the practitioner is no more concerned with his mind and the patient's mind. All that there is going on is just mind, which is, as Jung said, my mind, capital M. So the my mind, capital M, is really the healer now. And this mind is one mind, and therefore the mind of all. No necessity of thought transference, of transference of right thinking. And as there is only one mind, naturally all there is asked of the practitioner is to have that mind, which is the mind of Christ. Because that mind knows itself, knows the truth about every situation, and it is at that point when one began to realize how important it is what Mrs. Eddy said, put Mary out of the way. So the practitioner, the patient, the case, the name of the disease, all that is put right out of the way. And the only thing that is now going on is seen the oneness of mind. Mind expressing itself out of itself, through itself, as itself, to itself, and that's all that there is ever going on. Therefore, healing for them is no more a thinking process, but because God is one being and there is only one being, healing is being. We have that great statement of Bicknell Young's, be and by being heal the sick. Therefore, the Christian Scientist is alone with his own being and with the reality of all things. Now, thought has changed from thinking to the one mind, but the one mind is my mind, and that my mind is the mind being. So by being mind, we heal the sick. We can sense how Bicknell Young has touched a very high level of treatment and of consciousness. Therefore, it was Bicknell Young and his school that brought to the forefront the importance of the I and the ego, that there is only one I and one ego, and that there is the only ego there is. Healing, therefore, for them is no more improvement of the mortal, nor is it for us, naturally. But at that time, that broke through, that healing has nothing to do with improving the mortal, with changing sickness into health. It is much more realizing that there cannot be anything except health. That Christian Science really does not heal man, but reveals him as whole, as Mrs. Laird would state it. So healing is to discover really man's divinity, and not the method how to change sickness into disease. But it's finding out through mind self-realization that this mind only knows the perfect state of being. This is, if I have been just, to Bicknell Young, in a nutshell, the main points. And now we have to ask ourselves, can this be the climax? Or does it leave some open questions? What are these open questions? The open questions are these, that though he has seen the oneness of being, he has not seen that oneness in its infinite categories. Therefore, to take only the two foremost categories, the ascending and the descending way, the ascending to the oneness, the descending from the oneness, right down to every claim of the human mind. When we go out from seeing that being is one, without having any classifications, without having any analysis of what this one is constituted of, then this oneness is an uncertain, undefined, amorphous oneness. Then the question, how can we distinguish between ideas and illusions, is not answered. In order to answer the question, what are ideas, and be able to distinguish from illusions, we have to know what ideas are. And therefore we have to analyze the infinite one and see the infinite one as the infinite ideas of that one. But Bicknell Young school, and if I say school, I mean he and his protagonists and students, don't ever explain what ideas are. And if we can't explain what ideas are, we can't explain what illusions are, because illusions are the counterfeit of ideas. And so the danger is there that ideas and illusions may be mingled and just seen as one and as oneness. This new interpretation, which said that the universe must be interpreted from the point of view of principle, naturally demands that this principle is interpreted in terms of ideas. And as long as that principle is not interpreted in terms of definite concepts of being, then we must say that that interpretation from principle is not an interpretation on the ground of understanding, but on the ground of belief. Therefore, we don't find in that school of thought a analysis of the reality of being in terms of idea. So there is no deduction from principle to identified concepts of that principle in terms of idea. Nor is there a ascending way to the oneness of being. We have seen that the great point is that in the oneness of being there is one mind, and that therefore that one mind is my mind. But the question is, how do I find that intimate union of having that mind which is the mind of Christ? Can I have that union in any way, or is there a scientific way to it? Arthur Corey, for instance, who is one of Bicknell Young's protagonists, he states to Braden very clearly that that question of how to get into unity with that one mind, and so as to have but one mind, he said that that question is not of any great importance, so that the practitioner may well bring anything into his treatment which seems to enable him to arrive more readily at his objective. Well, that leaves the door open for mysticism, emotionalism, for anything except the way of understanding. We have seen yesterday that the ascending way is not just a mythical way, but it's the ordered way of how the light breaks on thought, and in an ordered, understanding way leads thought higher and higher and higher until it reaches the nirvana of Christian Science, namely the perfect transparency which is based on scientific understanding. So because God is not yet understood really through its ideas, we must confess, though we may not like to do it, that Bicknell Young's sense of the oneness of being was still a belief in the oneness of being. If that oneness of being cannot be explained in its categories and in clearly defined, identified and classified concept, it must be belief. We don't like to say that because we love Bicknell Young. His impact on the movement is terrific, is of great importance, and so please don't take it as my criticism. He has been a caliber of the greatest magnitude. But scientific thinking must put personal attitudes aside and just is interested in the idea itself and in the development of the idea itself. Therefore, we can understand why especially the students of Bicknell Young consider oneness as science. That to state everything in terms of oneness is for them science. So instead of having lack, they have no lack. Instead of having evil, they have no evil. Instead of having sickness, they have no sickness. Because lack, evil, sickness are not realities of being, and so they have to be explained away as no lack, no evil, no disease. And in this way state the oneness of creation. But this statement of oneness of creation isn't science. Instead of seeing that oneness alone isn't science, we should find the science of oneness. That's what we should find out. But just to state everything as being belonging to the one doesn't mean that this is science. Only when we can show why every detail of the infinite is in relation to all other ideas and how they constitute a coherent, frictionless whole, then we state the science of oneness. So oneness alone isn't science, but there is certainly a science of oneness. And to state this was the period that came afterwards, which we can call John Dolly period, and this is the last stage which we know at the moment. He came in starting with Bignall Young from the same standpoint of the oneness of being. We know that practically at the same time John Dolly and Bignall Young were seeing that statement that principle and its idea is one and this one God and that it is the only being. But then John Dolly, though he was stressing that oneness of being, and perhaps he was stressing it in the earlier times of his teaching much more than in his later times, he could see that unless we would find all the constituents of this oneness, of this one being, that one being would be a belief and not a science of oneness. So going out from the same fact as Bignall Young, that there is only one being, and that all reasoning must be from God, and that the universe must be interpreted from God and not from any other standpoint, he took that as a guide and asked himself, now, what does principle interpret as himself? He was attracted to that statement that reasoning from cause to effect in the science of mind, we begin with mind, which must be understood through the idea which expresses it and cannot be learned from its opposite, matter. So mind must be understood through the ideas of mind. Spirit must be understood through the ideas of spirit. Soul must be understood through the ideas of soul, and so on. And that naturally brought him to the investigation of the synonymous terms, which said, all right, then I must know what each synonymous term is, and through what ideas each synonymous term interprets itself. And that led him to the investigation of the synonymous terms and its ideas.